Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family. But I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about...
Freedom!
Your freedom, no excuses, on the Freedom Report Podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Today's show, we're going to be talking about how policemen could potentially regain credibility with the American public. And I know a lot of libertarians are sort of knee-jerk anti-police types of people. Certainly, I'm not a big fan of authority myself, so I can sympathize with that. But since it's unlikely we'll ever have no police or private police, as some of us might prefer, we should talk about the real ideas of what we can really do with the world that we have right now, and talk about how police officers could regain credibility with the American public in light of the killings of Eric Garner and the shootings of Mike Brown. which obviously these are two separate cases. I'm not trying to equivocate them because I think that Mike Brown probably deserved it and Eric Garner absolutely did not. So it's wrong to equivocate the two, but of course a lot of the communities, the anti-police communities, are going to do that anyway. So I'd like to discuss this because I saw an article on this website that I read. It's called Return of Kings. And if you've heard of it, maybe you're rolling your eyes right now because it's sort of like the Jezebel for men. And if you're not familiar with Jezebel, Jezebel is this sort of like kind of hate-filled anti-male website. And there's a lot of hate on Return of Kings too, but there's also some interesting articles and they do bring up some ideas there. That make me think, because it's sort of counter-revolutionary to the feminist revolution, modern feminism, which I think has sort of been hijacked by the radicals. The modern feminists now are sort of like the Islamists of the feminist world, and now this is the counter-revolutionary movement we sort of have with these. They call them men's rights activists, and yeah, a lot of them are crazy neckbeards, but every once in a while there'll be a few nuggets of truth that drop from their pages. And so before I talk about this topic, I'd like to ask you, if you enjoy the show today, please subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. The name of the show is The Freedom Report. It's not, you know, if you search The Libertarian Republic or Austin Peterson, you may not find it. Of course, my last name is spelled P-E-T-E-R-S-E-N, Austin Peterson. That's Danish. And if you like the show, subscribe. If you really like the show, do me a favor. Send me, give me a good review on iTunes. And I saw yesterday I got like 10 new reviews. So a bunch of people listened to yesterday's show about the NYPD and their quota system. And then I got just a truckload of great new reviews on iTunes. And if you're one of those people who did that, thank you so very much. I sincerely appreciate that. This show is just doing gangbusters. And it's thanks to just little things like that. So again, if at the end of the show you enjoy it, do me a favor. Go over to iTunes. 5-star review is great, and if you can write a little review of what you think of it, I would sincerely appreciate it. So this article comes from Return of Kings about 6 ways that policemen can regain credibility with the American public. And I'm just going to read the whole thing, and we're going to discuss. The author says, my previous article, which was called Why Americans Should Reconsider Their Contempt for Today's Police, was well received in the law enforcement community, but not so much on Return of Kings. I only wish to begin a conversation, and perhaps it worked. Ultimately, everyone would benefit from a better understanding between the police and the public, and neither side can afford to sacrifice the cooperation that's necessary to move forward. As some cops and members of the public move toward the fringe, fueled by social media and their cozy echo chambers, the relationship could deteriorate beyond repair. Then what? I think a cop who claims that all cops are heroes, and that the solution is to make more arrests, is as ridiculous as the anti-cop that claims all cops are pigs, and the answer is revolution. That's a very good point. With that being said, I would like to challenge law enforcement to look into the mirror and reflect on what we may be doing wrong. I know cops have many thoughts on this, even though it's not discussed at roll call, primarily because our out-of-touch administrators are more worried about their bottom line and retirement and focus more on risk management than any sort of valuable reform. Many of you question the same things about our institution, but with no forum for it to be discussed, nothing is addressed and nothing gets changed. Let's face it, we all know the government, especially the federal government, is out of control and working against the best interests of the people. The public is waking up and challenging the system that we are unfortunately a part of, and that is a good thing. Don't take it personally. He's talking to police officers. We have to suck it up and realize that we are the tangible government, and therefore we're going to catch the initial heat from public as their eyes continue to open. Remember, this concept is still new to them. The public will eventually figure out that videotaping a cop that pulled him over because they were speeding is not going to bring Eric Holder up on contempt charges or impeach Obama. Eventually, they will realize it is their responsibility to change any law they see as unfair and not expect the police to selectively enforce laws. And when the public truly seeks reform, they will direct their contempt at the politicians and leaders that actually run the show, yet have somehow remained exempt from the ridicule and harassment we often face. In the meantime, let us consider some changes and reminders to help come to an understanding with the public that we are simply crime fighters, local crime fighters acting on behalf of common morality and not the government. So I like this so far. Some of these things I disagree with. I think you should absolutely always record police officers. And I do think that a lot of people will criticize politicians. But he's got some good ideas in there. And his first idea for how police officers could regain credibility with the American public is, number one, to study the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. He says, "You swore to protect it. That oath may have seemed ceremonious, but it was most certainly the most important and practical directive you agreed upon. Study the Constitution and see what should separate us from the rest of the world. Understand that the inalienable rights mentioned in the Declaration of Independence are not privileges, and that the Bill of Rights does not just protect free speech, journalism, or the right to bear arms, it encourages them, and for good reason. The Constitution was written by men who wanted to ensure that a wayward government fears the power of the people. Remember this when you are watching the news and shaking your head in disgust like everyone else. And when you get to work, be mindful of your position and how you can collaborate with the will of free people who only wish to remain free." Number two, do not let the media exacerbate the nanny state. So yeah, number two is do not let the media exacerbate the nanny state. Most citizens don't need you. He's talking to police officers there. There's a large population of people who can take care of themselves. I'm not saying that they take matters into their own hands necessarily, only that they simply take care of their own problems and are smart and skillful enough to get through a day without the protection or advice of the police. I cringe when I see a cop on the local news giving viewers tips on driving in the snow, fireworks safety, or other general common sense advice. Cops are not parents to a childlike public. Any self-reliant person undoubtedly rolls their eyes when an officer friendly reminds them, "Reduce your speed when the roads are icy." To be fair to cops, it is the media that requests these interviews. So the media usually just wants a soundbite to fill some programming gap while appearing helpful and providing a service to their viewers. Cops hate doing these interviews, so I recommend declining them. Number three, realize you cannot control crime. The term first responder says it all. Cops respond to problems. We're not crime stoppers. We can't be. When departments do act as, quote, crime stoppers, they need to station police en masse like they do at special events or areas of repeat violent crime. And they can't merely respond. They need to already be there. Although a heavy police presence at a special event like Super Bowl is sometimes understandable and viable, it's certainly not possible or wanted everywhere all the time. But if crime's not the burden of the police, then who carries it? The community. Public safety is contingent on the conscience and values of a community, not the power of law enforcement. Unfortunately, when crime is high in a community, half of the community begs for a police state while the other half condemns it. And we're always viewed simultaneously, police, as too aggressive or too passive. How can they ever win? So when overreactive police administrators demand crackdowns and heavy police presence after a rash of gang-related shootings, take it with a grain of salt. Don't blame yourself when a few drug dealers rob the wrong guys and end up dead or shot. You don't need to frisk every guy that walks down the street, start taking people to jail for trespassing because they're standing outside of a building that some slumlord gave up on years ago. We need to stop making ourselves 100% accountable for weak, state-funded communities. If anything, it's the feds that are responsible for the communities. The feds are funding the crime and irresponsible cultures that plague crime-ridden communities with our tax dollars. It's absurd that the states and cities have to tame the beast that the federal government feeds, strengthens, and at times incites. Very true. Number four, dethrone the drug cop. When it comes to patrol officers, the type of cop that gets the most credit for being active and doing, quote, real police work is the drug cop. He or she is the cop that chases down the drug dealers, recovers their stolen firearms, seizes their money and cars. Most young cops look up to the drug cop and mirror them. The allure is understandable. Drug investigations are the fastest and easiest way to get into some action, as most dealers usually run from police who then give chase. It's easy to measure the productivity of a drug cop. How many grams of heroin? How many thousands of dollars do they collect, right? So these are all numbers that they yell to each other when finishing up their paperwork at the station so that everyone can hear how awesome they are. But if these drug cops just stopped and looked around one day, they would see that all their hard work and close calls didn't really change anything. The drugs keep pouring in and the buyers keep pulling up. However, drug enforcement does have its place, since the only people who have ever thanked me for saving their lives were the addicts that I arrested. But leave that to your vice unit. Let them do the drug investigations and monitor the violence surrounding it. So this guy is a cop speaking to other cops. Instead, keep your eye out for real victims. Get out there and break up a burglary ring. Protect property. Figure out who's breaking in into all those cars. Identify that guy robbing people downtown. Try to get someone's stolen car back to them and ask around about that unsolved homicide from 4 years ago. Whatever you do, let the public benefit from it. Drug work is a quick game where you want to catch the mouse, and the public doesn't pay you to play games. Drug abuse is a cultural problem. There's nothing the police can do to address the insatiable American appetite for illicit drugs. Local police agencies need to stop pretending that this is a problem they can solve. Perhaps when the police step back, communities and their churches, businesses, medical facilities, etc., will strike that critical balance between charity and capital to address the drug problems of their own sons and daughters. Very good. Very well written there. Two more to go. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Number five, the author says, take off the sunglasses. I know this is not 100% fair, but everyone hates a cop in sunglasses. It's just the way it is. Although sunglasses are practical, when you wear them at work and in uniform, they evoke mistrust and suspicion. I brought a pair to work several years ago when I began working second shift, and I felt like Agent Smith from The Matrix when I talked to people. And I probably came across that way too. I never wore them again. Nothing is more effective than good eye contact, where a citizen can see how genuine you are, and a bad guy can see how serious you are. And while you're at it, tell your buddies to leave the tactical gloves and Bluetooth earpieces at home as well. And the last one. Here's probably the best one out of all this wonderful list that we've been given. Number six, live within your means and stop burning yourself out. A police officer is still a blue-collar job. Yet, for some reason, many cops want to live the life of a Google executive. They're building $300,000 homes and buying $40,000 trucks on a base pay that tops out around $55,000 annually. They make ends meet by working tons of overtime and outside employment details. The money is well earned as they work very hard for it, but the cost makes its way down to the public when they get burned out, and the exhaustion makes for a bad attitude. Cities are only making the problem worse. Hiring freezes have emerged throughout the country in the last few years, while at the same time, tons of cops are retiring. This, of course, means that fewer cops are on the payroll. The city's solution is not to hire more cops, but instead to provide overtime to already exhausted, burned-out cops. Cops are not immune to the failure of Americans to know their place in society, okay? Many of the rugged crime fighters of yesterday that traded shots of liquor in the local hole in the wall are being replaced by softer Babbitts sipping wine poolside at their oversized home. Loaded with debt, many cops are enslaved to the job. They will find it hard to step out of line or challenge injustice when they cannot afford to. So, live within your means, don't back yourselves into a corner, and by the way, look a little closer at your pension system. There's a lot more money going out than coming in. Do you see that carrot dangling before you? It's rotting. And he finishes this piece, this wonderful piece, by saying, "United we stand. It's understood by now that the system's primary tactic to control its people is divide and conquer. The more they can get groups to clash and fringes to spread, the more the system can step in to take control. If the public and the system's law enforcers can make both concessions, and come to some middle ground, the system's orchestrators will begin to lose control, and perhaps the organic human relationship that the nation once knew will emerge again. Everything is to be gained from mutual cooperation. Be very suspicious of those on either end that work to ensure a divide is drawn." Wonderful piece. So that was it. And again, this is kind of a short show today, but I wanted to read that story to you guys because I thought this was such a fantastic idea. These were fantastic ideas for people. Now, you know, I tend to be on the more radical side of things, and now I think that this has even caused me to rethink some of my views here. But will the police listen? I don't know. I mean, we're all beholden to our administrators. We all have to do what the we all have to pay the piper, in a sense, or we have to do what our bosses say. You know, but you're my boss, ladies and gentlemen. You, the listener. You, the podcast listener and downloader. You, the free market. So, when you don't listen to my show, nobody gets hurt. But when police screw up, people can get killed. So I hope that some police officers will manage to listen to this show. And if you did, and you like these ideas, send me an email. Tell me what you think about it. And of course, if you enjoy the show today, subscribe to us on iTunes. If you don't have an Apple device, you can also find us on Stitcher, on your Android device. The name of the show is The Freedom Report. If you love the show, do me a favor. Give me a 5-star review on iTunes. A lot of you did that yesterday, and that was awesome. I got 10 new 5-star reviews, and that was fantastic. I mean, you really bumped me up to the top of the charts, guys, and I sincerely appreciate you. You know that your Leif Beaverson Liberty Champion is going to be here every single day, so don't forget to come back to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty of the Libertarian Republic.